As we observe the rite of confirmation, it's an opportunity for all who are gathered and all who are listening in to take a time to renew our own faith. And so the scriptures today are pointed to all of us, and we talk about holy living and what that means in our lives as we give honor and glory to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And reflecting on our four confirmands, and I was asked if I've had classes before of only boys, and I have. I know that a few years ago we had five, maybe 15, 20 years ago we had two boys. I don't think I've ever had a class of all girls, so we can work on that in the future. But one of the joys of spending confirmation with our 6th, 7th, and 8th graders now is on a Wednesday night I get to spend about an hour with them, and hopefully I get to know them a whole lot more than they get to know me. It's kind of interesting. We normally had a group of 19 to 20 youth every Wednesday evening, and then during the month of April, it's down to just these four boys. As we prepared for Presentation Sunday, and if you were able to hear that, you were blessed by each of their stories of faith, their faith testimonies. And so I got to know them a little bit more in preparation for Presentation Sunday, and also for this day, Confirmation Sunday. And what I have gathered from Elijah and Jude and Ethan and Tucker is that they have a growing sense of living for Jesus Christ, of living their lives according to what is known as biblical principles. In order to live biblical principles, you have to know what the Bible teaches and how the Bible guides us. Now, when we're thinking about holy living, we are not talking about being perfect. Not everybody in here raised their hand when you were asked if you were 150 years or less. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if there's anybody in here that thinks you're perfect. None of us are, although many of us may think we are perfect at times. But we're not talking about perfection. We're talking about striving to be holy as God has willed our lives to be holy through His guidance. And as we think about holy living, as we think about perfection, I want you to think about Peter. One of the original 12 disciples, Peter had his strengths and he had his weaknesses. Peter was that disciple that recognized Jesus as the Messiah. He proclaimed Him as the Messiah, the Son of the living God. It was Peter who had enough faith to hop out of the boat and walk on the water towards Jesus. And he was on top of the water until he took his eyes off Jesus and the wind distracted him and he began to sink. It was that same Peter who was on the mount for the time of transfiguration of Jesus. And it was that same Peter who, after Jesus had been arrested, denied knowing Jesus three times. But it was that same Peter who, on the day of Pentecost, when the crowds had gathered and the Holy Spirit was poured out upon them, after that, Jesus stood up and he preached to the crowd. And he preached so well that their hearts were quickened, and 3,000 of them repented and they were baptized that day. So it's not about looking for perfection. It's about looking for living for Jesus Christ, knowing that He helps us overcome our sins through the shed blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, Peter, in his first letter, known as 1 Peter, in verses 1 and verses 13, Peter writes about holy living. And then in 1, 15, and 16, Peter writes, "But just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Be holy because I am holy." Peter is actually quoting Moses from the Old Testament book of Leviticus. That appears three times in the book of Leviticus in chapters 11, 19, and 20. When God was calling for the Israelites to consecrate themselves, to set themselves apart from the rest of the world and be consecrated and strive to do God's will in their lives. Of course, the issue with what Peter writes in his letter and what Moses wrote in the book of Leviticus is, as you think about it, it's easy for God to be holy. God is God. God is perfect. God defines and describes what holiness is. It's easy for God to be holy, but we're not God. And so it's difficult. We can't give up hope when life begins to be a struggle. When something doesn't go right at school or work or home, we have to persevere and we have to bow in prayer before the Lord. I read that we as Christians put the emphasis on the wrong part of God's command. We focus on the be holy part when we really should be focusing on for I am holy. It's because of God's holiness and our acceptance as Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior that we can strive and seek to be holy in our daily lives. Now, for you four and for all of us, whether you're in school, whether you're at work, whether you're at home, whether you're in the neighborhood, whether you're at the park, if we went to your friends at school or work, the neighborhood, wherever, if we asked them the question, and I tried to find a name that's not represented in our congregation, and I lost track of who, you know. And so I shouldn't call out people whether they're here or not, should I? Oh, I knew who I'm going to use, and he knows it now. If I'm going to ask, is Kurt a Christian? We're blessed with Kurt spots in the back today. But if I went to your friends and I asked them, is Kurt a Christian, what would they say? Would they say, absolutely? Kurt is a man of prayer. He prays at every meal. He will pray with people who are hurting. He's always there to help out. He's the best student, the best worker at school, work. Or would the friends say, I don't know? Or would they say, are you crazy? The guy's a terrible student or terrible employee. He cuts down his classmates. He cut down his coworkers all the time. He'd be rather anywhere than at school or at work, at home, with his family. What would your friends say about your faith? Am I living a holy, separate, distinct, set-apart life? And we are challenged to be honest. When we ask that question of ourselves, we're challenged to be honest and to always seek the Lord. So, for these four confirmands and for all of us, I want to hit a few highlights of Colossians 3 and Colossians 4 of how to be holy in our lives, living for Christ. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Peace is a standard. Peace in your heart is required for discerning God's will. So when we want to know what God wants us to do, we have to pray for peace. We have to be at peace. The apostle says, let it rule. Let it rule. Let the peace of Christ be in charge of every aspect of our lives. The Greek word means arbitrate. Arbitrate. Peace is supposed to be our coach, our guide, our counselor in our actions with others and our actions with our own selves. So we challenge everyone to let God's peace act as our guide, as our counselor. Think about when you have lost peace. Life becomes anxious. Maybe you become angry and upset. You do or say something that you didn't mean. I was reading a book yesterday. And it was about a cage fighter. And the cage fighter lost by a decision, and he lost his cool for 15 seconds. He pummeled the referee, and he pummeled his opponent. And then he realized what he had done. 15 seconds. The rage within him overtook his control. And he had to pay for what he had done. We cannot lose our cool. We have to have that peace in our hearts. How do we get that peace? Paul writes, let the word of Christ dwell in you. The word of Christ has to dwell in us. We're not just talking about memorization. We're not just talking about knowing where in the Bible to go for a certain passage. We just have to know it so it can guide us as we interact with one another. Paul then writes, whatever you do, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Whatever you do. Not just here on a Sunday morning, not just at home, whether we're by ourselves, whether with our friends, whether we're thrust into a situation where we don't know anybody, whatever you do, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then from Colossians 4, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Paul opens his letter by acknowledging how he is praying for all of the Colossians, and he asks the Colossians to pray for him. So we are praying for you, not just for the day, but tomorrow and in the days to come. And we're challenged to pray for one another. The ancient Greek meaning in this verse is to be strong. To be strong, to let nothing deter us. To let nothing change our course, but to pray in devotion and commitment. Paul then says, be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. The outsiders typically refers here to people that do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But the outsiders can also be people that go to a different school or live in a different city or someone that we're not normally around. We are to be wise in the way that we act towards them. And we are to make the most of every opportunity. When we are in holy living, everything that we do is a witness of how Jesus Christ has interacted with our hearts and how we live for Him. And we are to let our conversations be full of grace, seasoned with salt, full of grace. We don't have to know all the answers. We can simply say when somebody asks a tough question about the Bible, I'll get back to you. I'll look it up and I'll get back to you. I'll call. And you got to make sure you follow through. William Barclay, a biblical scholar, translates Colossians 4:6 this way. Let your speech always be with gracious charm, seasoned with the salt of wit, so that you will know the right answer to give in every case. Let your speech always be with gracious charm, seasoned with the salt of wit, so that you will know the right answer to give in every case. I captured that in my studies this week because when I think of the four of them, as you wrote, as you interacted in class, each of you has a certain amount of wit. That means you have some knowledge, but it also means that you can give an answer readily. And wit also is going to include a time of humor. And you each can do that. And I pray that you continue. The job of the church, if you can talk about faith as a job, the job of the church is not for us to impact just the church, but the job of the church is to impact the world. It's described this way. It's like a huddle in a football game. 70,000 people don't buy a ticket to watch the teams huddle. What if you went to a game and for 2.5 hours you watched 11 men stand in a circle and do nothing but talk? That's not what you paid for or why you were there. The crowd is there to see what difference the huddle makes. What they want to know is, after having called the play in the huddle, how does it work on the field? Worship of our Lord is important, but it is not just our huddle that makes the difference. It's when we go out, how is our huddle impacting the world? And that is one of the realities as you profess your faith in Jesus Christ and Lord and Savior this day, is it's not just what you say here, but it's how you live holiness in God out there. Praise be to God. Amen. It worked. My concern earlier was normally the projector in the sanctuary is behind the screen, and if we have the confirmand stand here, are they going to be lit up with shadow? So thanks for taking care of that. My other distraction this morning is there's food cooking in there. and it smells pretty good. But I invite our four confirmands to come forward for the rite of confirmation as they affirm the baptismal vows made by either their parents or when they were young or by themselves. So, Tucker, you come right around here. Elijah Verhoff, Jude Rutledge, Ethan Krukowski, and Tucker Johnston. We changed the order around. I'll take that. Just keep smiling. Bend the knees a little bit. These four youth have been nurtured and supported within their families and in the midst of the family of Christ, the Christian church. Through study, prayer, and reflection, they have been led by the Holy Spirit to affirm their baptism and to claim in our presence their covenantal relationship with Christ and the members of Christ's church. They are here to publicly profess their Christian faith and to be confirmed by God in this church family for service to Christ, to His world, and to the church, using the gifts which the Holy Spirit has granted each of them. Each of us today is involved in this rite of confirmation. We all have a part in this service, because each of us is being called by the living God to respond to His love and grace in a continual striving to be obedient to our Lord. As confirmands, you have come so that God may claim you publicly for His service, so that He may confirm you in His covenant and invoke upon you the Holy Spirit, by whose help alone you are able to fulfill your promises. So I challenge each of you in the words of the Apostle Paul to young Timothy, to keep alive the gift of faith which God has given you. For the Spirit that God has given fills us with power and with love and with self-control. Do not be ashamed of witnessing for our Lord. Take your part both in living out and sharing the good news that God gives you strength to do so. And above all, remember Jesus Christ, who is raised from the dead, that you may realize the salvation that comes only through Him. Hear these verses from the Gospel of John, Chapter 15, when Jesus says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Anyone who remains in me and I remain in that person is the one who bears much fruit. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you will and it will be done for you. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full." May you continue to remain in Christ and trust in His promise that He will always be present with you. The faith which we share and the faith into which Tucker and Ethan and Jude and Elijah are to be confirmed is set forth in the words of the Apostles' Creed. So the confirmands will now confess their faith together. I invite you to turn and face the congregation, and I'll get you started, and then away you go. I believe in God the Father Almighty. You may turn back around. Well done. If everybody out there is like me, I was willing you on, saying it in my mind, and you did very well. Having been baptized in the faith of Jesus Christ, and having stated your beliefs, I invite you to kneel. Let's go ahead and kneel. And consecrate your confirmation vows, praying that God will seal them upon your hearts and lives by the power of His Holy Spirit. So repeat after me. I give myself to God, and not to the ways of the world. I pledge my commitment to Jesus Christ, and will be faithful to Him and His church by loving and serving all people. I further promise to Christ, Lord Jesus, for you I will live, for you I will suffer. Lord Jesus, I will be yours. in life and in death. Grant me, O Lord, eternal salvation. And now these vows of your confirmation. Will you reject the worship of self and of the world and give yourself to the worship of God alone? If so, answer, I give myself to God alone. Do you confess your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? If so, answer, I confess my faith. Do you promise to participate in the life and mission of the church, sharing regularly in the worship of God and listening to the work of the congregation as it serves this community and the world? If so, answer, I promise with God's help. And do you promise, by God's grace, to remain a faithful member of the Church of our Lord Jesus Christ, to come to the Lord's table and share in Holy Communion, to love and serve God among all people, and to bear witness to the risen Lord working in the world? If so, answer, I promise. Having confessed your faith and made your vows, is it your desire to be a member of Christ's church? If so, answer, it is. Let's bow in prayer. Almighty God, increase in each of these youth the gifts of the Holy Spirit, love for all your people, joy in serving you, peace when there are disagreements, patience in suffering, kindness toward all people, goodness in evil times, faithfulness in temptation, gentleness in the face of opposition, and self-control in all things. Through these spiritual gifts, strengthen them for their faithful witness to the world, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Tucker, you stay down. The other three stand. Tucker James Johnston, you are ready to respond to questions in class. You do have an honest wit and a sense of humor, and your testimony of faith speaks of your growing trust in Jesus Christ. The memory verse chosen by your family and by you is that of Isaiah 40, 31. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. May the God of grace and peace strengthen you in your faith as you live out your vows through the love of Christ and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may stand. You kneel. Ethan Daniel Krukowski, you have a kind heart and are a friendly person. When called upon, you answered well in class. Your testimony on Preparation Sunday and at your baptism offers insight to a strong and growing faith in the Lord. Your memory verse, 2 Peter 1:3. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. May the God of grace and peace strengthen you in your faith as you live out your vows through the love of Christ and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jude Allen Rutledge, you have matured in your faith in the Lord, willing to respond to the questions in class with a strong sense of devotion and a commitment that you have expressed and lived well. Your memory verse, 1 John 2:5 and 6. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. May the God of grace and peace strengthen you in your faith as you live out your vows through the love of Christ and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Elijah Job Verhoff, it has been a joy to get to know you over the past year. You have joined in class, responding as able, and your willingness to share in Presentation Sunday and confirmation certainly speaks to your maturing faith in Jesus Christ. Your testimony of faith at your baptism confirmed your understanding of devotion and commitment to Christ. The memory verse you chose for yourself, Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be terrified, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. May the God of grace and peace strengthen you in your faith as you live out your vows through the love of Christ and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. God of mercy and grace, we give you thanks for the goodness that you have shown towards each of these four youth and for the gifts, the power, and the fullness of life that comes with the presence of the Holy Spirit in their lives. Help them to live not for themselves alone, but for Christ and for all those whom Christ loves. Keep them abounding in hope, never giving up, pressing toward the goal of life with you in Jesus Christ, now and forevermore. Amen. I invite you to turn. Spread out a little bit. I invite the parents of our confirmands to come forward, remembering to bring a bulletin with you. Stand in front of your son. You can get up close and personal on the stage if you want. Or not. That's good. Boys, you know what you get to do? Get take two steps closer. Oh, that was only one. There you go. Parents, let this be a time of great rejoicing in that your maturing children have consecrated themselves to Jesus Christ and to His church. And let this be a joyful renewal of your own faith as well. For it is while in the ministry of the church to surround these youth with Christian nurture and training, it is in our homes that we must continue to build them up in Christ. Will you renew your responsibility and offer every support and encouragement that your son may keep his vows? If so, will you please respond with a greeting and covenant printed in your bulletin? We praise God. Thank you, parents. You may greet your child. And then you may return to your seats. Thank you. Let us, the congregation, express our welcome and affirm our mutual ministry in Christ by responding with the words printed in the bulletin. We are filled with joy for you as you have confessed your faith in Christ. We promise you our continuing friendship and prayers as we share in the hopes and ministries of the Church of Jesus Christ. By the power of the Holy Spirit, may we continue to grow together in God's knowledge and love and be witnesses of Christ in the world. Amen. It is in the name of Jesus Christ that we welcome you into the congregational life of this church and the Church of Christ all together. And I share with you the certificate of confirmation. Inside is a copy of the class creed that the four of you wrote, and also a crocheted cross, a tradition from Arlene Grimm. I put notes on the back, so I gave the right one to the right person this time. Now, it's not required that you memorize your memory verse. It's in here for you. But memorizing it is always a good thing. All right? May the peace of Christ be your guide always. Amen. You may be seated.
With joyful hearts, let us now honor God by giving back a portion of the blessings He has given to us. I invite the ushers forward now to receive our morning offerings. Thank you. Let's pray. These gifts that we bring to you, O Lord, are not like installments on a loan, for there is no way we could ever repay you. Nor are they an effort to earn your favor. You give freely, and you have showered us with blessings. By returning what you have first given us, we are spreading your blessings and your glory, and may the world be filled with your glory and our lives reflect it. Through Jesus Christ we pray, amen.
I believe I saw some Faith Village children here today. We do some singing before they go to their Sunday school, and I always ask for song requests, and one that always comes up, never fails, is My Lighthouse. So kids, this one's for you. But a lighthouse warns ships of hazards, and it guides them to the shore, helping them to find their way. We are a vessel, and we look to our lighthouse, which is Jesus. He will guide us, and he will lead us safely to him. So as you go, confirmands out into this world right now with your continued faith, may Jesus put your focus on him. He's the light of the world. He is your lighthouse, and he will guide you home every time. Our closing song is My Lighthouse, followed by the spoken benediction. We'll sing a quick chorus of Christ is Enough.
Failures.
peace of Christ, which transcends all our understanding, guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
I have desired.